So this is what we're talking about today, guys. Fill in the blanks. His story. All right. If you write that there. So this is basically a continuation of the last time I was here, which is the series His Story, His Truth, History. And this part two is it's going to have an apologetics slant to it. Everybody say apologetics. If you can write that on your paper, apologetics. Basically, apologetics is defending or proving the truth of Christian doctrines. Basically, defending what you believe, defending the Christian faith. So apologetics is not to apologize. We are not apologizing for what we believe. Amen. I believe in God. I believe in Christ. And I'm unapologetically believing what I believe. Amen. Everybody say, I don't apologize. So we're defending or proving the truth of Christian doctrines. We're defending and contending for the faith. I don't feel like we see enough of apologetics in our community. I don't think we see enough of it because perhaps deep down we don't feel it's worth defending. Or we don't feel like we make a good defense attorney. Who was the best or who is deemed the best defense attorney of all times? Say his name or her name. It could be her. Who do y'all think is the best or the world says the best defense attorney of all times? Think about it. What does a defense attorney do? And what would make a defense attorney good at it? This one said, if it doesn't fit, what? You must acquit. Who said that? Ain't that slick? What happened days later, or maybe hours later, or weeks later? What happened? He got off. He was believable. Write this down. Am I believable? Am I believable? Am I a good witness? Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. I think Christianity is the best way to go because that's the way I feel. But guys, I want you to write this down too. And you guys are looking like a good class already. I have facts to back up what I feel. I feel what I feel, but I have facts to back up what I feel. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Everybody say, get wisdom. And with all thy getting. Guys, we've been in church for a long time. Am I right about it? I'm not saying you're older. I'm just saying we've been in church for a long time. We have a lot of man hours in this thing called church. Am I right about it? Yeah. Teenagers, but we've been here a long time. But we have not always understood what's been coming from this pulpit. Is that fair to say, guys? But the Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. Guys, if we don't understand, we're less likely to share our faith. Because why would I share my faith if I don't understand it? And so the enemy is trying to get us to be on mute. And if he can get us to be on mute, then the gospel is not heard. And if the gospel is not heard, faith is diminished. And if faith is diminished, turn on the news and you see the fruit of all of that. You see the fruit of not hearing the word of God. We see the fruit in our own lives of a faithless life or a life with little faith. All right. And so, guys, we definitely need to, it's all about getting and understanding according to Proverbs 4:7. Everybody say, know what's going on. Everybody say, understand what's going on. And then who should we ask for understanding? The Lord. Amen. Closed mouths don't what? Don't understand. All right. Acts 1 is, You're going to hear this a couple of times today. I said it a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday. And this is basically Jesus talking. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he is telling his disciples, he is giving his disciples some instructions. Everybody say instructions. He's giving them instructions, and he's, I stand corrected on this, guys, but he's giving them, he's introducing something new. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I feel like this is something that the disciples haven't heard like this before. And so, first of all, they probably need Jesus to give them, help them understand what he just said. He said, basically, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If I was a disciple, I'm like, Jesus, why do I need the power of the Holy Ghost and you standing right in front of me? Why do I need the Holy Ghost power? Because I've seen you do miracles. As a matter of fact, you standing in front of me is a miracle. Because we just saw you be crucified 3 days ago, 4 days ago, 5 days ago, 30 days ago. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my what? Say it loud. You will be my what? Witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. So it's like this, guys. Jesus is talking to his boys and he is giving them instructions, something that needs explanation. So Jesus said, hey, guys. And I knew they sensed that something was coming to an end, because I'm sure Jesus, I'm sure they sensed Jesus was getting closer and closer to the door. He said, you guys will be my witness over here in Seneca, Clemson, and Easley, Spartanburg. They say Spartanburg is worse than Anderson. Have y'all heard that? They say Anderson is crazy, but they say Spartanburg is crazier. Then Jesus said, you going to do this? I'm out of here. Poof, he was gone. Out the door. So what are they supposed to do now? Everybody say, what am I supposed to do now? He says, you're going to be my witness. Everybody say, I am going to witness. So disciples, what did you witness? They witness history. Everybody say history. So part two is basically his truth, his story, history. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. So help you, God. They witness history. Everybody say history. History or his story is worth sharing. Is it worth sharing? Is it worth sharing? His story is worth repeating. His story is worth protecting. His story is worth believing. How many believe in Christ? How many believe in the resurrection story? And honestly, guys, for me, I want to say I'm proud of you guys, because if Thomas had trouble believing and you guys are emphatically saying, I believe in Christ, I believe in Jesus. Have you ever seen Christ? Have you ever walked with Christ? Has Christ ever held your hands? I know what you're saying. You say, and he walks with me and he talks. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, have you physically touched Jesus? Has Jesus ever physically given you a hug? But yet you believe in him. You doggone right, I'm proud of you guys for sticking with that belief, because that's not popular in a day like today. John 20:29. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Seeing is believing. But everybody in this room, everybody say your name on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. You guys are blessed because you have not seen and yet you believe. What we believe, fill in the blanks, what we believe, others belittle. Number two, what we celebrate, others condemn. Of course, this is post-resurrection Sunday. teaching, but it's still a part of resurrection season because you have so many days after Jesus resurrected from the grave, a series of events happen. Amen? And again, we have facts to go with our feelings. We do have facts to go with our feelings. I need to say that three more times. We have facts to go with our feelings. Jesus revealed himself to hundreds of people after he was resurrected. We know that, right? He revealed himself to a lot of women. And so you know the women going to be talking. Amen? So that's why we, listen, women, I wish I was here next Sunday for Mother's Day. I can brag on women. Amen? They will keep something going, won't they? I'm talking about positive. Girl, have you heard? Girl, what we know as fact is seen as fiction. Our convictions are confronted every single day. What we deify, others demonize. Discrepancies are used as distractions. Our joyful noise is negative noise to many. And I appreciate you guys for filling in the blanks. I see you doing it. Very interesting, about 4 in 10 Christians say that the Bible's text is the word of God and should be taken literally. 36% say it should not be interpreted literally or express another or no opinion. And by the way, no opinion really is an opinion. Mute is an opinion. Mute is a position. But what you think about XYZ, I don't care. That's a position. Amen? 18% of Christians view the Bible as a book written by men, not by God. 40% of Gen Z believes Jesus was not sinless. That's problematic, because if they believe Jesus sinned, they believe that Jesus was not the Son of God. If they believe Jesus was not the Son of God, then salvation is impossible. Because the Bible says if you're going to get to the Father, you have to go through who? You have to go through his Son. Amen? 71% of Christians, who make up a majority of U.S. adults, are divided. Yes, if you haven't heard, if you haven't seen, we as Christians are divided over how to interpret the Bible. Because some say it says this, some say it says this. Some says it says something it didn't say. And so we are divided. Amen? We are divided. Y'all know we're divided. I mean, we're divided. It's like the divided states of America in Christianity. And that's just in-house. Everybody say in-house. That's just in-house, we can't agree. Somebody said, united we stand, divided we what? And that's what's happening. There's good news, guys. I know y'all looking sad. There's good news. Amen. And the good news is you're going to leave here ready to basically defend your faith to the third party. Speaking of the third party, there are so many accusations about the Bible you're holding up or you're reading. There's so many accusations about Bible errors and contradictions. We just celebrated the Resurrection Sunday, and they say we look crazy. The third party says the Bible you are reading has conflicting testimonies when you compare them. They're trying to get us, guys. They're trying to get us. They're trying to make us look like fools. The third party is saying, it sounds like to me someone got some explaining to do and really needs to get their lie together. And so what do you say to that? When they say what you believe is a lie, and then they say 1, 2, 3. They are accusing, saying we look foolish. I'm not making this up. Y'all know I'm not making this up. What are you going to say? Frank Turrett says, y'all read this with me together. Ready, set, go. It is not our job to refute what they say. It's their job to support what they say. For an example, they may say your Bible is wrong and full of errors about the resurrection. What are you going to say? Based on how I just trained you guys, it's not our job. One more time, sweets. Can you get it? Okay. Read this with me. Ready, set, go. It's not our job to refute what they say. It's their job to support what they say. So now the accusation is your Bible is wrong and full of errors about the resurrection. So first of all, we're nervous. Why are we nervous? Because I don't really know all the errors or the conflicting testimonies about the resurrection. I don't know them all. Do you guys know them all? Raise your hand if you don't know all of the contradictions around the resurrection. Raise your hand if you do not know all of the conflicting testimonies. I don't know. And so to get you out of the hot seat for about 2 seconds, it's their job to support what they said. So, response. Can you describe in detail the errors you picked out? Now they are in the hot seat. And then what we're going to discover is hot air. That's what we're going to discover. That's going to be the revelation. Hot air. They just saying something they heard somebody else say. They're just repeating something they heard, they saw on TikTok for 20 seconds. And then they are so upset with Christians. They're so upset with God. Why so many upset with God? And they don't believe, and they're atheists. We ain't streaming today. Ain't no telling what I may say. I ain't got to watch my back. Are we streaming? I'm still going to say it. My wife got my back. And she's licensed to carry. But we're living in a day where it seems like declaring the name of Jesus could be a punishable offense. Thank God, I don't think it will be in my lifetime, but it seems like it's coming down the pipeline. If we don't unite and defend and contend for the faith, amen? Do you want your grandkids to be arrested for declaring the name of Jesus? Do you want a house of Judah to be shut down? And they say you can only worship God for 27 minutes? I could have been in praise and worship for 27 minutes alone. It's really that serious. Amen. Y'all see I'm not joking. So accusation number two, you are a bigot because your Bible doesn't agree with my lifestyle. Based on what I just trained you guys, what are we supposed to say to that? So now you're being called a bigot because your Bible doesn't agree, or you align yourself with the Bible and you don't agree with my lifestyle. And I'm saying lifestyle because there are so many lifestyles. Obviously, there's same-sex lifestyles. There's drug addictions. There's transgender lifestyles. There's so many different lifestyles. And so they don't even want to have a conversation. You are not allowed to ask a question because they deem your question as a position. Your question can be looked at as being a bigot. So how are we going to respond to that? And I suggest not doing this on Facebook or Instagram because you're going to be there all day. You can't talk to 700 people about homosexuality and transgenderism. You can't do it. You can't do it. You need a one-on-one. First of all, you really need a relationship. You need to be prepared. You need to be prayed up. You need to know what you're talking about. You need to know logic. Did I say you need to have the Holy Ghost? You need to have patience. You need to be respectful. You need to be loving. But you also need to tell the truth, his story. But just because you disagree with me doesn't make you a bigot. It doesn't make me a bigot. Let me scratch it. I feel like that was confusing. Just because I disagree with you doesn't make me a bigot. Because that's not the definition of bigot. They want to make that the definition of bigot. I disagree with you, so I'm a bigot? No. I just disagree with you. Why can't we be respectful? Sounds like, to me, if that's what you're defining bigot, it sounds like to me you're what? The bigot. And the bully. The bigot and the bully. Bully. I'm over it, but God, I'm respect. Everybody say respect. He's still working on me. Amen. Respect, respect, respect. The Bible encourages us to share our faith and contend for the faith and be respectful and have patience. Amen. Because nobody is unredeemable. Amen. Nobody, salvation is available to everyone. Salvation is available to all lifestyles. Amen. Jesus wants to meet you where you are. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. And that's the truth. So they're trying to get us with all of these discrepancies. And now what do we do when they actually get the Bible out on you and start to make accusations about the text? What are we to do then? For an example, after the crucifixion, you have the what? Come on, class. You have the crucifixion, then you have the resurrection. All right? Of course, we know this. Just don't want y'all to go to sleep on me. So we have the crucifixion, we have the resurrection, and people saw this. Think about it. 2,000 years ago, people actually witnessed this. And Jesus, again, I said it last time, revealed himself first to women. Because he wanted the word to get out. Amen. Thank God for women. And so we have this test. Listen, so in Matthew and Mark, we know the Bible story here, guys. So something happened. In Matthew and Mark, there was an angel. Or at least Matthew and Mark reveals one angel. Everybody say one angel. And that angel tells Mary, the two Marys, not to be afraid. But in Luke and in John, there were how many angels? Two angels. And they didn't tell Mary anything. They ask, why do you seek? Or it was lifted in this passage. Why do you seek the living among the dead? In John, it was lifted or suggested that it's two angels. And Jesus appeared only to Mary Magdalene. And so the discrepancies is, was it one angel or was it two angels? Have you ever been talking to somebody and they you want to say, get your lie together. You say, yeah, I was down there and then I went to Sphinx. It was QT. And it wasn't QT or Sphinx. And you want to say, get your lie together. But let me tell you the truth. They went to a gas station. That's the truth. They can't remember if it was Sphinx or if it was QT. The discrepancy was it one angel or two angels? Angels. But guys, one just basically highlighted that there was an angel, but it never said it was one angel. So when you read in the text, it says that there was an angel. The other text was more specific. So it's not a discrepancy. It's just an omission of the truth. Or it's an omission of the details. All right? It's just omission of the details. Y'all see that there? Did I make that plain enough? All right? Okay. Because we can go downstairs and really feel like a Sunday school class. This is juicy to me. I could be here all day, grab some Starbucks and some wings. Have the game right here, and we talk about this. This is everything to me. Amen. Because I want to be in the know. I want to understand. Somebody coming to me and tell me Christianity is false because of these discrepancies. Discrepancies like this. The biggest event in Christianity There's a discrepancy over how Jesus was wrapped. In Matthew and Mark, he was wrapped in a large linen, or it highlights that he was wrapped in one piece of linen. Everybody say one piece. Then in Luke and John, it highlights that there were strips of linen. Gotcha. So now what we believe is false because again, this is just too much. This is too much. This is too much. There's too many discrepancies for this to be true. The details just don't line up. What are you going to say to this? The response can be something like this. God wants us to focus not on the what of the crucifixion and the resurrection, but the why. Everybody say cross over clothes. Everybody say stripes over strips. Perhaps, guys, it could be both. It could be both. It could have started as a one piece and it could have been cut or ripped. Or by the time somebody discovers it, it could, you know how evidence could be tampered with. And so let's keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is cross, the cross. Cross over clothes. Stripes over strips. Amen? So this is another one. Y'all okay? Is this boring? This is really fun. Fun to me, all right? So in Matthew and Mark, after Jesus revealed himself, after the resurrection, which is enough in itself to be confident in saying. Because if Jesus revealed himself to hundreds, it's hard to hide that Jesus existed. Because imagine a 100 people telling something to 100 other people. You know how quick the virus spread in 2020. So imagine how quick this story can get out in Jesus' day. By human beings. Does that make sense? So after the resurrection, some say they saw Jesus in Galilee. Some say they saw him in the vicinity of Bethany. Everybody say vicinity. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. So in Luke, we see this. Luke is saying he was somewhere around. He was somewhere in Seneca. He was in Oconee County. Everybody say the vicinity. And so the discrepancy is, your Bible is too vague. They would like to say your Bible doesn't address homosexuality. Even some preachers say the Bible don't talk about homosexuality. It's vague. And so what the enemy is trying to do is to cause the vagueness to be void. For us to void the Bible because of the vagueness. Or what many like to say is vague, but it's not vague. Everybody write this down. I didn't come up with it, but this is really good. Everybody say, use the Bible to interpret the Bible. You don't have to. Listen, guys, I know we're not going to spend money to go back to seminary, but write this down. Again, use the Bible to interpret the Bible. That's going to be your biggest help here. So the Bible, by the way, the Bible is not vague about homosexuality. Alfie, why you keep saying that? All right. Why you keep saying that? I want to say that because my questions in 2023 is because sin is sin. Everybody say sin. But it seems like to me, my sincere question is, why do other sins do not want laws passed to promote that sin? Y'all think about what I just said. If I cheat on my wife, that's a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. I have never seen an adultery march, or I have never seen legislators go to Washington or to Columbia to try to get laws passed. I've never seen a Pride Adultery Month. So my point is, it's not that we are picking at this particular sin. It's just that it seems like this particular sin is louder than other sins. My question is, why is that the case? Why is that the case? So many would like to say, why do you keep picking on homosexuality? No, ma'am. I'm just saying, why is homosexuality picking on me? Why is homosexuality, lesbians, bullying, trying to bully me? And listen, I've heard so many arguments, and they would say back in the day when we grew up, I grew up Baptist, guys, and we know in Black Baptists, we've heard it all and we've seen it all in the church. Deacon so-and-so sitting right there, and the kids that he fathered sitting over there didn't know that was his daddy. Am I making this up? But the question, but my point is, sin, homosexuality, sin. But then we also say, but then you guys were trying to hide it. You know why it was trying to be? You know why they were trying to hide it? Because it was conviction. It was conviction. You felt bad. Obviously grace, obviously repentance. You don't want that out because you know the standard. Amen? You know the standard. Amen? But it's another thing when you know the standard and you don't care about the standard and you want to be seen. That's the difference. I hope I'm making this as plain as I can and as heartfelt as I can. So my position starts with a lot of questions. Amen? First of all, if we don't see this as a sin, it's going to be hard for us to have a conversation anyway. Amen? And so let me close this out. I'm going to skip past this, guys. Because the main thing is, after Jesus was resurrected, he revealed himself. That's the main idea. That's the main motif. And so my question is, in 2023, where is Jesus in the proximity to your heart? Is he in the vicinity of your soul? Amen. He's in my hands, he's in my feet, he's all over me. Listen, he's in the vicinity. Y'all remember that song, right? Seems like you lift your hands more than me. Seems like you speak in tongues more than me. Well, guys, he is in the vicinity. That's what matters. Amen. Seems like you can sing. You can actually be bold and defend the faith. You have a lot of faith. You have a lot of patience. Well, that means one thing. Jesus is in the vicinity. Amen. He's in the vicinity. Amen. So responses and encouragements. Because I want you guys to be encouraged. You think you're going to get out of these four walls and speak like I'm speaking boldly about, or at least asking questions about the subject matter I just asked, and think there's not going to be a consequence? You are mistaken. I don't work in corporate. But if I did, and I'm talking like this, my job could be threatened. Y'all know that, right? My job could be threatened. So who are you going to trust in 2023 if you do work for corporate and you have a certain belief? Or if you plan on going to the corporate world and you have these convictions and these beliefs? Are you going to bow, young people? Are you going to bow? Are you going to bow? That's the question. But let me tell you this is a sidebar. I hope I'm okay. This is what can be on your side. Young man, young ladies, is something that they created called DEI, diversity, what else? Equity and inclusion. Because if DEI is what it's meant to be for, then Christians should be covered. Am I right about it? So don't let DEI be for everybody else when you guys go to wherever you're going, or even in this room, if your job has a DEI. DEI can be for your beliefs as well. Amen. That makes sense. So different doesn't warrant denouncing. Am I okay, sweets? You all right? You need a mic up there? We got a lot to say. We talk about this all the time. Y'all should come over to the house sometimes and let me smoke a turkey. Sarah, I got you. Let me smoke a turkey so you guys can eat with me. See? Food every time I get up to talk. I'm trying to get on this street. Sarah thinks I always talk about food, and she's right because I'm trying to let her be right. Ladies are always right. Responses and encouragement. Read this with me. Ready, set, go. And hopefully you've been filling this in while I've been sharing my heart. Different doesn't warrant denouncing. Omission of content doesn't mean you should oust the content. Summary is not sinful. Don't get distracted by majoring in the minor. Please study these responses and encouragements, guys. Answer a question with a question. Make them responsible for the rebuke. You come to me, I'm just sitting drinking my cup of coffee, and you are posting on my page. So make them responsible for the rebuke. Context will confront contempt. Problems don't cancel the promise. There's only one perfect. Just because there are hypocrites in the church don't mean Christianity is false. Hypocrites in the church proves God is real. It proves that there is a right way. Because how are you going to call me a hypocrite if you don't believe in God? For you to call me a hypocrite and you don't believe in God is a contradiction. It's a self-refuting statement. Because if you don't believe in God, hypocrites don't matter. Amen? There's only one perfect. So actors don't affect the authority of Scripture. There's a lot of actors in church. We can code switch. We code switch. We one way in here and then out there we're another way. We're good at acting. Amen. We get in front of our friends and we act a certain way. At the barbershop, we act a certain way. At the table, at the house, we're good at acting. Amen. But it does not affect the authority of Scripture. And then lastly, share what you know everywhere you go. Say that with me. Sounds like a song. Share what you know everywhere you go. It is not almost 12. My God from Zion. I'm going to shoot for 12. 17. 12, 17. No, I'm going to shoot for 12. All right. So Acts 1, I'm going to lift this up one more time. When we testify, guys, the Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So Jesus knew that, listen, his disciples would need the Holy Ghost. Don't get out here without the Holy Ghost. Don't read one little something and think you are a professional apologist. And then you jump out here and you stuck like Chuck. Know what you know and what you don't know, you know you don't know. Amen? But when you do get out here, guys, you're going to need the Holy Ghost. You get in that barbershop and be 12-1. And everybody around, there's this sound around you that is false. And you say, hey, fellas. It seems like the whole barbershop just gets quiet. They don't know what you was going to say. Hey, fellas. It's like, and then you say what you say, and it's like, uh-oh. And then 12-1 starts letting you have it. No, 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 no. And then the accusations start, and then the accusations, and then have the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, have the Holy Ghost. But when you sit there in that barbershop chair, well, I keep saying barbershop chair, and you get your fade, and you respond to 12 with patience and respect. When you leave out of that barbershop, you know what's going to happen. One of those, or maybe two or three or four of those, going to say, hey, man, what you said really, man, that was deep. Man, that was really deep. It's got me thinking. Because you see, it's going to happen just like that. Watch. Come back to me And if I'm right, just bring me a mac and cheese. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. Everybody say, am I a good witness? Am I good with details? A good witness is good with details. I keep propping up the ladies because you deserve it. Ladies are really good with details. If you close your eyes right now, and then I say, what am I wearing? You can tell me he's wearing stripes, a lot of stripes. There's a lot of white and black. You can remember, y'all, your memory. Ladies, you got it going on. You're good with details that can work for you. Jesus said, I need you good with details to be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Samaria, I need you to be my witness in Samaria. I need you to be my witness in Samaria. Everybody say Samaria. I need you to be my witness. I need you to talk to people that looks like Swiss cheese. I need you to talk to people that looks like Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese has what? I need you to be my witness, and you have a special anointing for people that have holes, God-sized holes. I need you to be my witness in Samaria and talk to people that may be surprised you're even talking to them. The woman at the well said, Jesus, I'm surprised you... Listen, that you even talking to me. I need you to be my witness in Samaria to people that look different than you, a different race, a different belief system. I need you to be my witness in Judea. I need you to be my witness amongst family and friends. I need you to be my witness in Judea. Everybody say Judea. We know Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem is where Jesus was born. We need you to go back home if you're not from this area. We need you to go and grab your nieces and nephews and your cousins. Be my witness in Judea, representative of family and friends. There's no reason why our circle should not be strong in the faith. Amen. We should draw strength from each other. Amen. That's why church and gathering like this is important. All right? Amen? I need you to be my witness in Jerusalem. Can you be a witness in a place where you know you have enemies? Can you look the enemy in the face and be a witness? Jesus was killed where? He was crucified in where? In Jerusalem. Jesus is encouraging them to be his witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. In 2023 times, the end of the earth is the WWW. It's expensive to travel to the end of the earth. Amen. How are we going to be a witness? End of the earth. We can cover a lot of ground online. I'm not talking to everybody in this room, but those of us in this room that will eventually start a YouTube channel, that we have a podcast, you could put a dent in this darkness with your podcast. Amen. With your post. No comments, please. With your post, with your video on Instagram. The way you testified today, consider putting that on social media. You're testifying to the end of the earth. And then #OnlyGod. #OnlyGod, the creator. I was depressed. Only God. 1 Peter 3:15, because when you do that, sis, they're going to have problems with that. No, you're not depressed because of XYZ. You can't give God the credit for that. And then you know what you say? You know you do to that comment on your post? Delete. 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 You see it? You see these guns? That's how much I've been hitting the delete button lately. Delete. It feels really good. And I'm just testifying. Amen. 1 Peter 3:15, that's what the Bible says, but in your hearts, honor Christ. I'm just honoring God as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with what? Gentleness and respect. I'm just honoring God, the creator. I said I'll make 12. You guys can stand. Can you guys stand? I wish I was here next week to brag on the ladies in the room. Do it with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. I'm just honoring the creator. Everybody say, I'm just honoring the creator. I want to lift this passage real quick because there's a benefit in worshiping God and giving thanks to God. It actually affects your sanity. And so when you worship God, the creator, you are contributing to your sanity. You are contributing to a peace of mind. When you honor the God of Genesis, the God of Genesis 1, everybody say Genesis 1. When you respect that God, it affects your peace of mind, your happiness. When you don't do that, guys, when you disrespect Genesis 1, you end up being the fruit in Romans 1. Say that one more time. When you disrespect the God of Genesis 1, you end up being the fruit of Romans 1. Read this with me, guys. So Romans 1 says, ready, set, read. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as Genesis 1, as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their sanity, y'all see that? Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So your thinking is tied to your thinking. Your heart is tied to your hands. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, in 2023, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Genesis 1 creator, who is forever praised and worshiped. Your sanity is tied to your singing. You don't have to have the best voice. But ignoring Genesis 1, get some interesting fruit in Romans 1. You may not know all the facts and all the details, but guys, when you lift your hands, can you guys lift your hands? When you lift your hands, not only are you affecting your peace, but you are being a, this looks like a witness to me. Look around this room. Wish you could see what I, this looks like a witness. You saying, God, I don't know, but I'm going to worship you in front of the enemy. This is a witness. This is a witness. I'm going to worship you in front of the doctor. This is a witness. You're being a witness. I don't know. I don't have the knowledge. I don't even have the understanding. But when you lift your hands, you're being a witness. You're being a witness. Your sanity, your heart is tied to your hands. You say, man, he can't give me an answer, but it's something about his heart. God, I give you praise in front of the atheists. If you don't believe in God, why are you bothered by me worshiping my God? Because you know there really is a God. And you know he has answers. And he can do something about your situation if you just humble yourself. The humility this takes to worship, to give him praise, Well, what are you holding your hands to? To a God that's spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, moral, personal being that's concerned about me. He is concerned about me because I'm concerned about him. Bible says, if you draw not to him, he will do what? He will draw not to you. Be a witness with your worship. Be a witness with your praise. Everything ain't right, but God, I give you praise anyway. Everything ain't kosher. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to be a witness. I ain't got to tell you you're wrong. I just worship what is right, and you will see what is wrong. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be a witness and encourage each other. Let's praise God corporately. Come on, lift your hands. Clap your hands. Say something to Jesus. We're going to be a witness and encourage each other.